Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. All right. Here we are. So we are live with the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast. This is our first live podcast ever, and our video one.
Live from Ignite to boot.
Yeah, and live from Ignite. We've got like the big old expo hall behind us. We keep waving at people to try to get them to come up and see us.
Yeah, we have like, what, five of your most devoted followers up here? This is excellent.
Yeah, well, I think one or two of them might be yours too. They're not all mine.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good for you to have groupies. So awesome. So we wanted to do a quick introduction, kind of introduce people. So I'm Scott and this is Ben. You know, this is Microsoft IT Pro focused content. You know, there's a lot of developers out there, and we don't think that IT Pros get enough love. So we have a mailing list on the website, so mscloud.itpro.com. Go ahead and sign up for that. You get alerts in your inbox. We push out other news, information. Certainly feel free to follow us on Twitter. Push all that stuff around, too, and go ahead and get it out there. So it's been a great week so far, right? We've been sitting here for 4 days and taking in a bunch of content and sessions and keynotes and all sorts of other things. What's been your favorite moment so far?
So my favorite has just been this whole experience. I mean, we've talked before. Typically, we have come to shows as speakers, come to shows as attendees for some of them. This one, we actually got to come as press for the podcast.
Yeah, a little bit of love, right?
Yeah, a little bit of love. So it's been a little bit different experience. And I've just loved all of that, being able to do some of the interviews we've done. We got Corey Sanders. We interviewed Dan Holm the other day. We just finished up an interview earlier with Ann Michaels.
Shilpi and Ann Michaels.
Yeah, with Shilpi, yep. So about some of the usage analytics. So it's just been a lot of fun. The whole experience of even being able to come and do this live show, do our podcast live from Ignite. So, again, a lot of great news. There's been some cool SharePoint stuff announced.
A little bit.
I've still got some love for SharePoint in my heart. So, how about you? What's your favorite experience, your highlight of the show so far?
So, I think one of the coolest things we got to do was go experience the keynote with Brad Smith and Michelle Obama and kind of go sit in that room and be up front for that, right? That was an awesome thing. It's great to see good people doing good things. And the work they're doing, their foundations, especially combined with Microsoft and kind of pushing some of that stuff through. It's a truly great story to push that out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what are we going to chat about today?
So today we've done one episode before where we kind of talked about Microsoft Teams. We kind of gave you a high-level overview of it. There have been a ton of announcements this week about Microsoft Teams. Some of the integration with Skype for Business, but then there's also been some sessions on really diving into Teams in depth, really diving into the architecture behind it. What drives Teams? Where does some of that content live behind the scenes? Just a really in-depth look at some of that architecture behind Microsoft Teams and what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, it lives in the cloud, so it's all very easy to get to. Fuzzy around the edges, but well-formed in the middle, right? So I think one of the biggest announcements there was Skype for Business in the cloud is effectively going to go away someday. So a lot of that infrastructure is being reworked right now. Teams is going to become kind of the client of choice for pushing not only team collaboration and chat, high-velocity chat, things like that. Also, one-to-ones, one-to-manys. We're going to have meeting integration. Basically, everything that's built into the Skype client today is going to come across and be on that side at some point, which is going to be a truly interesting thing to see happen. We talked about this a little bit on the way down. Organizations really need to be ready for this. So hybrid's going to have a lot of problems, I think, in this model, particularly where you leave mailboxes in certain places. So Teams is an all-up workload. You have to have Skype and Exchange and Yammer and Power BI and Planner and all these other entitlements to be really successful as you push everything through. So hopefully everybody gets on board with that and starts, you know, trying it out.
Yep.
And I think that was kind of one of the core message from the product teams too. As you sat in some of these keynotes and watched these sessions, they said, listen, you have to try it. It wasn't even like you have to do it. You're just going to have to do this and figure it out and start to wrap your head around it. And, you know, being operationally successful with that and actually getting users to adopt it is going to be an interesting uptake over the next 4 quarters or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I sat in one demos where they actually showed teams, and they brought in like the PSTN calling. So they're already working on that. PSTN calling will turn into a tab in Teams. It'll pull in your contact list from Skype. So if you already have your contact list in Skype for Business, it's not like you're going to get a new one. They're just going to take some of that back-end server stuff that's already there and just resurface it in Teams instead of the standard Skype for Business client. So like you said, those features are going to start coming. They're going to start pushing them out into the Teams client. You're going to give it a try. It's not going to be quick either. I mean, their roadmap is, I think for some of this, is still like they're looking 12, even 18 months out to
They're targeting pretty far out. Hybrid capabilities are targeted for the end of 2018 to be in preview. Things like new Skype for Business server and bringing some of those services over, along with Exchange and some of the other stuff. So one of the really neat things is when you start to look at Teams and you think about how we're going to roll it out and consume it is you can actually look at the way it's built out on the back end, right? And how Microsoft has dog-fooded their own services to go ahead and push those things through. So Teams is ultimately a first-party service from Microsoft, and it consumes a lot of their own services, particularly in Azure. So in Office 365 land, we've talked a lot about identity, and every Office 365 subscriber is an Azure subscriber because you consume directories and, you know, really that authentication set and to a certain degree authorization out of that stack. And now you're going to have even more that's built and delivered out of there, whether you know it or not. So Teams is, I mean, it's fully service-based. They actually built it from the ground up with a microservices architecture, and they've done some dives into kind of what that looks like. So if anybody ever wants to figure out enterprise-grade scale chat, you know, for chat and voice and things like that, it's all sitting there ready to go. You've also got kind of the service areas that Teams owns. So they own a bunch of things today within their product stack because they're inclusive of not only chat, but also Skype and PSTN calling and SharePoint a little bit with data storage and file storage, Power BI with surfacing data. So kind of how they own audit retention, be able to push compliance through for all those different things, right? So when I chat, where does it go? When I store something in SharePoint or OneDrive, where is it landing? What's happening with it?
Yeah, it's really interesting when you start looking behind the scenes with Teams in terms of, again, where it all goes. They have some of these slide decks from this one presentation they gave on the architecture where they have, I mean, they warned you at the beginning of the session, it was going to be a lot of boxes. And it is. It's boxes with arrows going all different ways, because essentially you are at the center of it. You're the person consuming the Teams service. But if you look at it under the scenes, kind of like you said, within Teams, certain times, files are being pushed out to OneDrive. So there's some integration there with OneDrive, with the chat experience, with the meeting experience. Other times, files are pushed into a SharePoint site that lives under the scenes. Other times, some of that chat, when it comes to persisting the chat, to storing it for those retention purposes, for the archival purposes, it's leveraging some of the Exchange mailboxes under the scenes and actually some hidden libraries within your own Exchange mailbox, it sounds like.
Yeah, so you've got things like if you deploy a group today, and they use some interesting terms in here, right? So we've talked about Outlook groups and unified groups, and now they talk about modern groups. So a group is a group, except when it's not a group, and go ahead and make all that happen. So for those shared inboxes, typically they only manifest as just that, a single stream. You don't have folders. It's very flat in what it does. But they're going to start to persist some of that chat information and some of the kind of the back end inside of there. So you'll rely on things like Exchange retention features to retain your chats out of Teams and kind of your one-to-manys or your team chats that come out and stream through those mailboxes. And then you're going to have to reach over to SharePoint for compliance on that side. And you're still going to have things like Yammer sitting off in the ether, which really doesn't have a compliance story.
Yeah. I still don't know what to do with Yammer.
Just don't use it.
As much as we riff on those other guys, the other Cloud Show guys, I think we share that common feeling about Yammer.
Yeah, a little bit. So one of those really weird kind of things that I took away from this session was permissions management is going to be really hard across this stack. So when you think about deployment and how you permission things in SharePoint today, and you can have individual permissions and push things around. And then I have things like Skype. Like if I set up a chat in Skype, the permissions are whoever I invite to that chat and let them in to see that information. And the same thing with a mailbox, whether it's a shared mailbox or a group mailbox, anything like that. Teams is going to have a new private channel feature that's going to be coming over the next couple months. So you're going to be able to take a channel within a team and lock it down even further. That should be a fun one, right? So yeah. I can't get into the channel that has the tab with the thing that I actually wanted to get into. So I think a lot of like highly regulated organizations or where they have strict governance, they're going to have a ton of trouble adopting to this model of being open first and kind of closing things down later. Because it's just not going to flow well.
Yeah, one of the interesting ones too, along the same veins with the security, is that if you're going to do a chat with one-to-many people, so in Skype for Business, you can initiate a chat, you can invite multiple people to it. So if you start a chat and you add three or four people to it, and then you want to share a file within that chat, so you've initiated the chat, you're having a chat, you're sharing a file, and then you end the chat, that file gets saved off into your OneDrive. So whoever initiated the chat, it goes into their OneDrive for Business. And then the permissions are automatically changed within OneDrive for Business to allow all of those people you just chatted with to access the file that was a part of your chat. So now you actually have teams changing permissions on certain things in your OneDrive for Business behind the scenes. If you don't educate your users even on that, they might start freaking out. They're like, how are all these permissions getting set? I have all these different permissions associated with different files in my OneDrive for Business. That'll be one interesting aspect of security. The other one you and I talked about, and the conversation was kind of brought up by one of the questions one of the attendees asked. They asked if you can associate a different site collection with a channel or associate an existing site collection with a team you already have. And the answer to that is, well, yeah, you can go into the files. You can add a different site as cloud storage. But while it's still storage, whether it be a different SharePoint site or even a Dropbox or a Google Drive, now that's not necessarily tied to the permissions on the team. So as you add people to the team, you may add someone else to the team. They can get to the team, but now they can't get to those file shares that got added into the team files because by changing the team, you're not necessarily changing permissions on some of those other storage locations you may have added.
That's awesome. I have no idea what you just said, but it sounded great.
All right. Well, we'll get you. I'll explain it to you. Do you mean to draw a picture for
you?
Yeah.
Pretty pictures, big pictures, right. You know, all that kind of stuff. So let's talk a little bit about guest access and what's going on that side. So they spent a lot of time talking about Azure Active Directory and kind of how we're pinned into that world for identity, right? And that supports a couple different scenarios. It supports business-to-business scenarios and effectively like directory-to-directory federation within Azure AD right off the bat. And there's also a B2C component in there. So you know, we can do business-to-consumer and consume Gmail and Outlook and Hotmail accounts and things like that inside our directories as well. So it sounds like they're still working on consumer. They haven't quite nailed that down.
Yeah, consumer's not right now. It's just B2B, and it sometimes works.
B2B, a little bit rough.
At least for the teams, yeah. I've gotten it to work with one tenant. So doing all the Office 365 stuff, I have multiple tenants. So I was able to do some of the B2B between a couple of my tenants, but I went into some other like client tenants and stuff, so I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Now I can add my Office 365 account as a guest into their teams. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I go in and I go add my email address, and it's like, yeah, you can't do this. And it doesn't give me any reason why, but it just does it. And the whole, it's interesting because now when you add that external user in, it's not like that shows up with the rest of your channels or it doesn't show up in the rest of your teams in there. You actually just add multiple teams to the client. So I go into the client and I still have to jump between, not even teams, it adds the tenant in. So in the client, I have to go in and switch between the different tenants, and there's some goofiness there with like alerting, because if you're not in the tenant, you may not necessarily get an alert. They're working through it. I mean, at least they're making progress. We're getting there. I know, like you said, the B2C is coming. It's not there yet. The B2B, it's getting there. They're making some progress.
And then they're still driving that experience out of Azure AD too, right?
Right.
So to a certain degree, for like B2B federation, I might want to go in ahead of time on the admin side and preload a bunch of users. So I'm back to CSVs and PowerShell and doing some kind of dark arts on the back end to go ahead and load all those users in. So they're available inside of pickers, and people pickers. We got another people picker yep. problem now. Inside of Teams to be able to push that stuff out.
Right, and it gives you some more control over that account too. And that was their ultimate goal behind the whole B2B thing was it. What they didn't want it to just be a Wild West. A lot of admins want control over to some of those users, how they get added in. The other thing with that is it'll be interesting to see how they do federated chat. Because right now in Skype for Business, you can federate with other yep. tenants, with other clients.
It's just the checkbox away, you know?
Right, and you can just chat with them within your Skype for Business client. Well, now in Teams, I actually tried it this morning. I was like, I wonder what happens if I could just go to chat and try to add someone I'm already federated with and chat with them. It actually asked them to join my tenant, treated them as an external user. And
yep.
that's not really the experience you want if you're going to go the whole federated route. You kind of want it to actually be federated, not inviting them to a different team just so they can do a one-to-one chat with you.
Yeah, no, it's a lot to take in. Data storage was another weird one for guests, right? So their data is not always persisted in the same places.
Right.
So if I'm a guest user and I come in inside, some of my data might be in Azure. Some of my internal users might have their data in Exchange or Skype
right.
or
because
SharePoint.
Because as a guest user, you don't what, have
what
that Exchange
these other complementary
yeah.
workloads to go ahead and push that through. You mentioned a little bit about the client experience. I think it's interesting what they're doing there too with kind of mobile and desktop and pushing things through. So they use some kind of core technology, Electron, to go ahead and put those experiences together for web and desktop. So they're building on kind of a common services layer in the back end. You know, they've got an API and a mindset to push that stuff out. So web and desktop will maintain feature parity and kind of be able to roll at a really nice cadence as they go through and do this now.
Yeah, it'll make a big difference because essentially if you look at they have, again, there was another slide they put out there where it showed how they built the whole client. And down at the TypeScript, the Node, then you have the jQuery, the Angular, the HTML5, the CSS. All of that is the exact same across web, across Windows, across Mac. And then once you get above that HTML5 CSS level, for the desktop clients, they do a little bit of stuff with C++, with Objective-C, and then with Electron, just to give it some of that native, some of the native capabilities, some of the, a few hooks into Windows or Mac OS. And then essentially just wrap it all up so you can see it.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a nice unified experience. You're not waiting for your client to catch up with what you have on the web. And then mobile's still a little different. Those are all just straight mobile, iOS, Android. They do have Windows Phone on here. So
if for like the three people that still have
it. I thought it was down to two.
I saw at least three out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a couple of them running around. And, you know, eventually over time, I think you'll see all that consolidate into things. Like we've talked about, like, mobile application management without enrollment, so MAMWE. So those Intune SDKs will be adapted and brought in across that stack and kind of pushed out and ready to go. One of those other client experiences things that they have on the roadmap that they talked about, it's not quite ready to go, is connectors and what's going on in that space, right? So we can pull in data from external data sources through webhooks or native connectors, kind of what's out there. So if I want to have an alert automatically based on an RSS feed and manifest inside a channel in a chat, you know, we can go ahead and make those things happen today. Maybe you don't want them to happen and you want some more operational control around that. It sounded like they were going to allow admins to be able to lock that down a little bit more and pick and choose, hopefully, you know, at least at a tenant level, to say which connectors are going to be available. So rather than having a suite of, you know, 100 to 150, however many there are going to be, lock it down to, you know, the 10 core ones that you actually use.
Right. Yeah, because there's a lot of services in there. I mean, if you want to live all in Office 365, you want to just use Planner, you don't want your users to use Trello, maybe you don't want them to be able to pull in some of the Facebook stuff or the Twitter stuff, it would be really nice to be able to just give them that set that, I mean, some of it may even be regulatory. If you're one of those regulated industries and for some reason Trello doesn't adhere to those policies you need to adhere to, you don't want users to be able to go in and just add a Trello board to Teams.
You don't?
No, not really. No. Probably not. I suppose if you blocked it, though, at the web level, it wouldn't really matter, right?
That's what firewalls are
yeah,
for.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Firewalls, yeah. Proxy servers, you can stick all those in front of it, too.
Yeah, you can just make that happen, right?
Yeah.
It's like working at a bank.
Yeah, exactly, where you just can't get to anything. except your own internal stuff.
Yeah.
So another one you talked about, and I know you, we both have done a lot with Azure. You in particular really love Azure too. And you mentioned there's a lot of services that Teams also uses with Azure. It's not just Office 365 services that get consumed by it, but it's a lot of Azure services. Did you want to talk about
Yeah, we can dive into that. So, you know, I think it's important that everybody recognizes that Microsoft does push this stuff through on their own, and they really do dog food it, right? So they're building out on their core platforms. So if you look at something like Azure and having the ability to not have just core infrastructure services or compute workloads, so storage, networking, security, you have a lot of PaaS services as well. So you have things like Azure Logic Apps or Azure Web Apps. You can go ahead and push through with traffic managers and load balancers, and you can build some really cool, like, global scale things inside of there. And that's what they've had to do with Teams. So it's consuming Azure storage. So you're seeing things like in-memory processing around chat and kind of analytics and what's going on there, where they're leveraging things like storage accounts and message queues and blob storage to put those things together. For the web clients, so you're browsing to teams.microsoft.com, you're coming through Azure Traffic Manager, right? So a single endpoint that's geo-distributed kind of around the world to all those back-end resources that sit behind it. And beyond being built on the infrastructure, it's also consuming other services on the client side too. So there's a service out there which falls a little bit under security and compliance, so kind of audit and retention, Azure Information Protection, which is kind of your new labeling service and data classification in Office 365. So that's all going to be consumed on this side as well. So you're going to be able to leverage your existing investments in kind of your knowledge around those platforms to be able to stand that stuff up, operationalize it, and push it out in a meaningful way.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how they're bringing all of these services, all these components together to build some of these solutions. They had a slide here. It looks like, there's like 15 different Azure services that are all a part of Teams besides all the Office 365 stuff.
Well, I mean, if you need elasticity and redundancy in your application, right, it's not a bad thing to sit back on your own compute and say, I got a data center over there and a data center over there, so let's use it, you know, and go ahead and push things through that way. So it's really interesting to see particularly this product team kind of come out and talk about that. So there's components of other parts of the stack that leverage Azure pretty heavily, right? We've talked for years about SharePoint and how you can host a SharePoint content database in Azure SQL, the RDS service.
Right.
It's just not supported. But SharePoint's aware of it. It actually has a property on the content database, and it knows it's sitting there. But you don't hear that from the SharePoint team coming in and saying, hey, here's how we host, here's how we push through, here's how we architected and scaled and kind of got everything up to snuff for where it needs to be. And the Teams product group is coming out very heavily and saying, here's where we are. These are all the components we leverage. This is why you're going to be able to trust that we're going to be able to deliver this service, because really you do need to trust it, and you're going to be putting a ton of data in there. If you think about just chats and the information that's in there, typically, you know, internally, that's going to be a lot of your like hardcore IP and everything going back and forth. So you're going to want to have some good controls in place around it and understand the systems that it goes into.
Yeah, absolutely. So there were also a couple other announcements around Teams, particularly from the administrative side.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the Teams admin experience is, I think it's under services in Teams, and you just have a couple toggle switches you can flip back and forth.
Yep.
You also have your Skype for Business admin center, but like they announced this week, Skype for Business, Teams, they're going away. So they also said that in light of all of that, they're going to combine those two admin centers. So you'll have a single unified admin center now that'll be both your Skype for Business admin center and your Teams admin center.
Yeah.
I've seen some screenshots. I don't know that I've actually seen a demo of it yet, or if it's...
They had it in one of the keynotes.
Did they have a demo in one of the keynotes where they actually showed it?
Well, they walked through very briefly. So today there's two kind of analytics centers for Skype. There's the legacy analytics center. Then there's a new one that you can turn on that has the modern UI and things like that. It looked like it was leveraging a lot of that because they were doing real-time like PSTN analytics and like VoIP calls. So you think you have a call center, right? And everybody's complaining about call quality and they're all going across VoIP. And you want to be able to dial in and say, well, Ben just called into the help desk and he's having a problem. is it your computer? Is it our network? Anything like that? And you can do that kind of troubleshooting today. So they want to be able to carry that experience forward and push it around. You also had some new admin centers just in general, like modernization. So you're going to have a new one for SharePoint. Old Skype goes away. Hopefully Exchange gets updated someday. There's a new admin center for OneDrive that's going to be coming out as well. So it's kind of out there today, but it's going to be getting some new features, the admin.onedrive.com, and pushing that out. And then the core Office 365 admin center as well is getting a couple updates. So Service Health is being updated. You're getting some new reports and new features on like usage and analytics, especially around Teams. They want to, again, help you, if you haven't tried it, at least start to rationalize how it's going to go out and think about where is this going to fit within my organization.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have lots of stuff to talk about in coming episodes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Another one they announced was SharePoint pages in Teams.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. You can now pull in some of those SharePoint pages, some of your news pages into Teams.
We talked a little bit about that with Dan and kind of tabs and things that are coming in. Because you can add those sites in today, right? I can go in and say, here's a channel, here's a team. Go ahead and spin that up and have a play around with it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they want to make that a more integrated experience. If you think about use cases, right? So being able to turn Power Apps into embedded SharePoint forms now. So doing something like having a business form that's associated with a business process inside a channel, just create a tab for it, embed that page right there, and you'll be able to get into that on your mobile client or your desktop or your web and realize some of that anytime, anywhere, any device stuff that they have going on.
Yep. All right. So we've got maybe 3-4 minutes left. Anything else you wanted to talk about? Again, we'll try to keep this one under 30 minutes. We like our 30-minute podcast.
Yeah, no, we can do this. It was great to come out here and, obviously sit down and consume the sessions. I think there was a lot of content that came out this week. So certainly the product groups have been going ahead and kind of pushing out different blog posts and summaries of events and what's been going on. For everybody to learn more, you should definitely go out to Channel 9. So a lot of these sessions have been streamed there, pushed through. We talked a little bit to Corey Sanders yesterday, kind of on the Azure side. So they plan on building a bunch of new content in Microsoft Virtual Academy around the Azure side of things. I would imagine that the Office 365 groups are going to want to do that as well and bring some of those things up to speed, especially while you've got your external training partners and things working on redoing all their content and pushing everything up. So I think there's some great ways for people to go out and consume that. One of the big things I see is every year after Ignite or SharePoint conference or whatever that is, somebody will throw up a PowerShell script and it'll say, hey, download all the episodes from Channel 9 and grab all the slides. And you end up with like half a terabyte of stuff that you're never going
to
use.
Yeah, you need a computer just to hold all the sessions, right?
Yeah, so everything's become so wide, you really do have to kind of dial in and dive in a little bit more and figure out what you want. I think it's going to be very hard to be successful with that in kind of the current landscape. So you've got to recognize what you want to go after. So like Teams, this was an awesome session, right? Dive in, deep dive on it, and it's just that one thing. And then if it spiders out and you say, well, I'm interested in that compliance story as well, go look up Azure Information Protection and something and kind of start to take yourself down that path.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we'll be able to be back next year. My family's watching, I think. They sent me a picture of us on YouTube. So if they're still watching, my 4-year-old. So I have a 4-year-old at home. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old. They were like, hey, Daddy, can you say hi to us? So Grace, Ellie, Jack, he's one. He won't listen. You're still out there. This is Daddy saying hi to you. Oh, over here.
Yeah,
I'm over there.
One.
I'm looking at the wrong camera. So hi, Grace, Ellie, Jack, any of my family that's watching. Is your family watching?
No, they're in school. It's a school day.
Since when do you not pull out your phone in school and watch YouTube? Your
my kids
never
are 8
do
and
that?
10. Yeah, no, they're not going to do that. So, yeah, no, it's been fun. Hopefully we get to come back next year and make it all happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys we got a few people that showed up here. So it's fun. Glad you guys came and joined us. And
thanks.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again next week.
Awesome.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.